So the prophet Zechariah is letting us know that the world takes comfort in idols, and those idols have a voice. He tells us that they go to psychic readers, fortune tellers, and the like to find this false comfort. So what do they get for their false beliefs? They get vanity and lies with no comfort. This is also a picture of the Christ rejectors and their eventual doom in the lake of fire. Now we know that there is a supernatural comfort that starts at salvation, and a false worldly comfort that hopes in lies and vanity. But the choice remains yours, like always. Famously, this scripture was penned, Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is always drawing lines in the sand, but the choice is always yours. On what side of the line will you stand? Remember the judgment seat. Good or bad is the criteria for it. Choices. It all comes down to choices. So the scriptures have concluded that without salvation, there is no real comfort. It's like people taking comfort in fake news, as opposed to the reality of things, which is hard, if not impossible, to ascertain anyway, because of the father of lies. Point number two, the purpose of affliction. Verse 6 reads, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." In this text, we need to define four words: consolation, salvation, effectual, and enduring. In my opinion, defining terms is the quickest way to understanding context. This is just a study tip. So, consolation: alleviation of misery or distress of mind, refreshment of mind or spirits, salvation, in this case, the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. Effectual, producing an effect or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power or force to produce the effect. Enduring, lasting, continuing without perishing, bearing, sustaining, supporting, with patience, or without opposition or yielding. Already we see an idea forming. We see that Paul, through affliction, can show God's power by helping us overcome through his providence. So to put it in one sentence, the goal is to produce the effect that after being saved from distress and misery, we are strong enough to endure with patience the physical or mental tortures of this life in Christ's service. By now, you should have started seeing that the Lord is the main mover and shaker here. He is responsible for trouble and the way out, if we are patient enough. It is a trial, because no matter how much patience you think you have, he always knows every button to push to make you lose it. You have to go through the trial as a child of God. You have to go through it. And then you can pray that he's with you and he can help you walk on water. But at the same time, you have to go through it, because if you don't, you're doomed to repeat these trials until you learn patience. You can never go to the next step if you don't learn what you have to learn from this one. The world has a saying. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. It works the same way with the Lord. The Lord puts you through trials and tribulations, expecting you to come out the other side like gold. He expects that. The problem is, we don't expect ourselves to come out like gold. So he's got to give us another trial. and another trial and another trial until we get the point, until we show the patience, until we ask him for help, until we develop a deeper relationship with him. It's for our sanctification. He's cleaning us up from the inside to be a better ambassador, to be a better witness, to be a better light to this dark, evil world. Point number three, the sentence of death. Verse 9 reads, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." This is to say, we are resolved in the fact that whatever befalls us, not to be concerned with our own lives, but to live what we have believed to the end. That is the sentence of death in ourselves. Our trust is in the fact that we are saved and on a journey home. We, as part of the body of Christ, cannot in any way trust in ourselves, because when we do, we fall into the category of the deceiving and wicked heart of Jeremiah 17:9. Our hope is in the resurrection of Christ that will raise us up one day in the rapture or after death. So how do we guard against our poor response to situations that the Lord puts us in? We must purpose, before we ever get to the situation, to be steadfast and strong in order to please the one who loves us. The Bible has a lot to say about purposing. In Daniel 1, Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat because he served his God. In Isaiah 23, we see that the Lord purposes things too. The verse reads, "The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory." David in Psalm 17 purposed that his mouth would not transgress. In Ephesians 1, Christ purposed to let us know the mystery of his will. So you see, if you want to get anything done that is of any importance, you must decide in advance that you will do it or you will fail. It's amazing how we can use Bible principles in our lives when it comes to buying a car, buying a house, making vacation plans, but when it comes to applying it to things that matter to God, there is always resistance. Why? Simple, because it's not about you, and therefore you're not that interested. In conclusion, the world's comfort is built on fantasy land, but the Lord's comfort is born out of trouble and is real in the end. This will leave us stronger and more spiritually mature than we ever thought we could be, but we must be able to put our head down and plow through. The Bible tells us to endure hardness as a soldier. Then I would quickly learn what a soldier is like to understand what Paul was talking about. So we must remember that the Lord is a comfort in time of trouble. There is a purpose to our light affliction, and that we must purpose in our hearts that even death will not move us, because we have sentenced ourselves to death already in our hearts for Christ's sake. I know that these are strange times, these days of no, but that does not mean that we give in to the world. This is admitting personal defeat. Here is a simple rhyme that I believe hits home. Although strength is almost gone, and the sun doesn't shine as bright, the darker it seems to get, the quicker we take flight. Amen.